normally this week is very uncharacteristic in the sense that I'm going directly to the 3 points. And the reason I'm doing that is because we have one of the most thought-provoking stories in today's gospel reading. And there is so much depth there that I would like us to enter into the depths of where these readings are leading us. So here is my homily straight. The very first point I want to talk about is about this man who comes to Jesus and asks the question, "What must I do?" Luke calls this man a rich young man. And that's why that detail is left out in today's gospel. But when Jesus asks him to give up his wealth, he was very sad and he left. But that's not where I'm going first. My first point is that this man had a gift. And his gift was, he was aware of his innermost longing. He had wealth, he needed everything to lead a good life, but there was something more, and he knew that. And he comes to Jesus and he poses the most significant question. Every human heart is created with a desire for God. There's no human heart that does not have this natural inclination for the divine. The soul, human soul, gasps for God. And there are some people then who feed this longing in their heart with God's breath, with God's life, with God's love. And there are those who don't. For many reasons, because sometimes people are not trained to pay attention to the longing in their hearts. But this young man was not one of those. He was one of those who knew his heart longed for something more. Now, if we are not trained to pay attention to that longing for God, then people search and search and know there is an emptiness in their hearts, but they don't know what to do with the emptiness, neither do they sometimes know why there is an emptiness. So you'll see the TV is constantly on. They can't bear silence. The radio is constantly on. They're even on their cell phones, even in the bathroom. You know, young people today, one of the things that they struggle with is can't keep the hands off the keyboard. Constantly texting. Something has got to go on all the time. And then there are others who don't need anything, but what do I do with my time? So we go and spend at the mall window shopping. Somehow we need to finish time. There are others who are obsessed with sports. What's the latest score? Can't wait to get out of church to find out who won. Or we get obsessed with gossip and everything else that's going on. And then, of course, there are enough breweries that quench this undying thirst. People can go spend hours at a bar watching sports and I don't want to condemn that man in the gospel because I think he's better off than many people in our society. He knew his innermost longing. Now this evening, as I look at this church, we are people who pay attention to that longing because we're here this evening for Mass. At some point you decided today is Sunday, my heart, my soul is thirsting for God as we sang in the psalm, and I'm going to receive the life of Christ. And that's why some of us spend time in prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer. It's our response to to this longing in our hearts. And what am I saying today? My saying is, friends, please pay attention to that innermost longing in your heart. That desire for God, and I'm not saying that you say prayers, but find time this week to really sit down quietly and make time in the midst of all the busy schedule to sit back and pay attention to that very focal point, that desire, that gasp of your soul for God, and nurture it. Let it grow. We who have a longing for God, we must plunge deeper, so that deep down here we don't find emptiness, but that the divine presence that we have in our hearts, it can grow, and we can become more spiritual people. And if you do that and train yourself to do that, then you will be aware of God not just when you come to church or at prayer time, but even the other aspects of your life will slowly, you'll begin more to become more and more spiritual and aware of God's presence. So this week, try this. Find some time and pay attention to that innermost longing. My second point. These days, we've been speaking a lot about radical discipleship. You know, I've preached this again and again for the last 3 or 4 weeks. That in our parish here, we are focusing constantly on that one theme. What is our parish? Who are we? We are a community of radical disciples. And we've defined radical discipleship as people who think like Christ, talk like Christ, and act like Christ unconditionally. No conditions. We're going to try and strive our best. Now, to understand radical discipleship, there is no better passage than this passage we have in today's gospel reading. Here is a rich young man who is a good guy, right? Jesus tells him, you want to have eternal life? Follow the commandments. And he says, Lord, I already do these things. And in our terms, this guy, he followed every commandment. He's a regular churchgoer. He made it to the sacraments. He gave his money to the church, even gave some money to charity. He was not promiscuous. He didn't get drunk. He did not waste food. He even used the recycle bin and cared for the environment. He's a good guy. But you know what? He's not happy with just being a good guy. He's saying being good is not good enough. And when Christ sees that in him, this desire to go further, take that one harder step, Christ invites him and says, listen, okay, you're not happy with being good now. Go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. Now, that does not mean that all of us now can only be radical by giving everything we have to the poor. That's not the point. The point is this. There is a threshold, and this is an important word for my second point. There is a threshold of our following Christ. The threshold for that man was what? His wealth. So he was a good guy, but when it came to following Christ, to taking that extra step, his threshold was wealth. The moment Christ said, listen, give everything, he said, okay, I've reached my limit. Right? And he pulls back, and you know what the gospel says? This man went away sad. His face fell. He could not cross the threshold. Now, I'm not saying go and give everything you have to the poor. I'm saying, what is your threshold? In each one of our lives, you will find there is a point to which we go, and then to go beyond that, we have to really put our faith in God or do something hard. Let me tell you my threshold. Right now, especially since Grandma died, my focus has moved to my parents. One of the struggles that I'm facing, and sometimes this fear paralyzes me, will I be there when my parents reach their last moments. And I was telling one of my friends the other day, somehow I have to find within myself the strength to put my trust in God and say, God, I'm continuing this ministry. Please, I know you will be there and take care of my parents and me. That's my threshold right now. If I do not cross the threshold, I'm going back to India. But that threshold, we have to find the strength to cross it. What is your threshold? Where is it that you can go and say, okay, go this far, and then what? That is radical discipleship. I was having dinner with someone last night, and they said, I know my threshold. I know I've got to do this. So each one of us has that threshold. So become aware of that. How far, how radical will you go and become in following Jesus? At some point, we have got to say a yes or a no, okay? My third point are just very practical things that God is bringing our way so that we can pay attention to this inner life within us. Just some very practical things. First of all, as I said earlier, we've got to train our children to pay attention to what's going on inside. In 2 weeks, October 18th, in this parish, we are beginning what we call the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, a Montessori-style children's religious ed program for children from 3 years to 6 years, 9:30 in the morning till 10:45 downstairs. We have a professor from the University of Dayton, Yana Bennett, who is part of the parish. She and along with a couple of people said, to invest in our children when it comes to faith is very important, and we're going to do that. So those of you who have children and want your children to become aware of this inner life, bring them in the morning. Take the trouble. It's okay if you come to church twice in a day. It's okay. You'll never regret it. Never regret it. But let's teach our children to pay attention to the life of God that is within them. So this is every Sunday starting October 18th. Two other important events for adults. On November 14th, I'm preaching a retreat on the contemplative prayer with John of the Cross, one of the greatest mystics in the church. Half a day retreat, trying to understand how is it that people like John of the Cross went so deep into the life of God. If you really want to pay attention to the presence of God within you, this man has a lot to teach us. That's the first retreat. The second retreat is in Lent. It's in February. I know it's far off, but keep these things in mind. These are opportunities God is throwing our way to enrich us in our spiritual life. It's a 24-hour silent retreat. And once again, trying to learn the methods of contemplation. Now, all I'm saying here is, this is not just pure advertising for the programs. I'm saying God is leading us in a radical way closer to eternal life. Here is where God comes and says to us in a very personal way, please let you and I make our life together in such a way that one day we can be part of the eternal life that God promises. So in conclusion then, friends, let me say this. What a beautiful thing we are doing this evening. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Come to the altar. Come to this God. This is the God who shows us what it means to be radical. Bread, body, in total self-giving. That's the answer to our question. What must I do? Let's come to Christ in the deepest way possible, because in that is eternal life. The people of God said,